Welcome to the Be the Adult podcast. Be the Adult is a nonprofit organization that provides blueprints for calm and effective parenting so that children can grow into their best selves. Because ultimately, we aren't raising children. We are raising little people who will one day be adults.
Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Marisol. How are you today?
I am great. This is the last Sunday that you get to wake me up for a few months.
I can call you next weekend and we can just chat.
Always. But this is our last episode of season two, which is strangely longer than all of season one, but then I don't know. It's just been crazy with 2020 and the virus and everything. I feel like we've been podcasting for a long time.
Yes. Time this year has gone both slowly for me and super fast. It's very surreal.
I just want to take a moment and thank everyone who's listened to season two of the Be the Adult podcast and who has shared it and commented and liked our posts because, we've had some great success. We got ranked in the top 100 nonprofit podcasts, which is kind of amazing for a new podcast like this. Our downloads are consistently up. I mean, we have a great audience that comes back and listens to us every weekend, which is still, many years later, still a surprise to me. So thank you to the audience of Be the Adult. We really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thank you to all the guests who have come on to share their knowledge, including our wonderful one who's coming back today, who we'll introduce in a moment.
Yes. So today is one of my, it's actually my favorite topic. And it's something that's dear to my heart. I work for a company, Nancy, you're aware of, and it's a mission-based company. And one of their goals is to help each employee live their best life. And it's something that it's a phrase that's all around me in my house. I say it to my kids. And I enjoy talking about this. So I'm going to read from our book, and this is from the child's perspective. I need you to live as your best self. How? Please show me that you respect me, yourself, and others by modeling healthy choices and relationships for me. Why? This shows me the importance of making positive choices because I will hear what you say to me, but my behavior will mirror the things I see you do.
Deep breath. So I'm going to introduce our guest and then share a few quotes that others have written that spoke to me about living our best self. And then I'm going to see what our guest thinks. So we're going to welcome back Dr. Arthur Frankel, who has taught graduate undergraduate social work since 1972. He was the BSW director at Rutgers University School of Social Work and has directed a research center in Philadelphia. His academic record includes 30 referenced articles, 3 books, and over $15 million in research grant awards since his graduation from the joint PhD program in 1972 at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, in social work and psychology. Dr. Frankel has extensive experience in clinical practice, both in private practice and mental health organizations, and in grant development and research in social work practice. He's conducted numerous social work clinical training workshops. In his initial years at UNCW, he directed the Center for Social Work Research and Practice. And currently, Dr. Frankel is still a professor at UNCW and is engaging in private practice for kids and families here in Wilmington. And our community is so lucky to have him, and we are lucky for this next time that we have with our podcast. So I'm just going to talk for a moment. I was thinking about what this topic means to me. And basically, it's how do we model life for our kids? Because we're teaching them how to live, how to handle all of their emotions, how to handle relationships, both the ones who they care to get close to and the ones who are just people we meet every day. And I picked out 3 real quick quotes from others that I thought might get us in the mood here. So one is by Charles R. Swindoll. Each day of our lives, we make deposits in the memory banks of our children. Another one, Sue Atkins. There's no such thing as a perfect parent, so just be a real one. And then finally, Joyce Maynard. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's not only children who grow, parents do too. As much as we watch to see what our children do with their lives, they are watching to see what we do with ours. I can't tell my child to reach for the sun. All I can do is reach for it myself. So, Art, what you got? What does it mean to you to live as your best self?
Well, I think as I was thinking about this topic, what came to mind is it's not just living our best self, it's living our best self in the time of COVID, because this is a unique experience for the world and particularly for everyone living in this generation, that there's been no ability to prepare for or even to understand how we can get out of it living our best self. So I think giving yourself a break is the first thing that I think that we all need to deal with in terms of dealing with our children and dealing with our spouses and dealing with our families. So to me, what that means first is that everyone I think has a sense of who they are, who they wish to be. And for most of us, it's trying to live with our children and families in a loving way and all that that means, so that we monitor ourselves or measure ourselves against that standard. And that standard is high, but not unattainable in most situations. But that's when I say you need to give yourselves a break, because we're human. In these trying times, there's going to be times where we just are not able to treat ourselves or others in a loving way, which simply means whatever happens, you're showing respect, showing caring, being calm in the face of adversity. All these things we aspire to. And when we're at our best selves, we're able to do it. This means particularly for me that when you communicate with your children or your families, you're doing it in a calm and loving, respectful way, which means you don't yell, scream, use mean phrases. It also means showing children how we resolve anger and frustration, because this is normal, particularly now when we're all enclosed together. Anger is going to be there with our kids, with the siblings, between us and our kids, between us and our partners, and our families. It's not that we have to completely say we shouldn't be angry. That's not possible. It's that when we do get angry, we are able to resolve it quickly by listening to each other, by calming the temperature down, by taking time out from the situation if we're not able to control our feelings, and then coming back and modeling for our children that things can be okay and will be okay even after we are frustrated and angry. I think it also means that we try to bring a sense of hope and positivity to our children and to ourselves. And this is particularly important now, because kids are not often old enough to understand what's happening. I'm not sure we understand what's happening as adults. But to be able to show hope and positivity in the midst of this calms children down, gives them a sense of stability. And to the extent that we're able to actually do it for ourselves, will also give us a better ground. I think being able to present children with facts of what is happening in life, in the family, between members of the family, in terms of people being ill, in terms of people passing, in terms of people decisions about school, presenting these as facts with as much positivity and hope as possible. Because if we lose it, the kids are going to be watching that and they're going to be scared. So that's what just came to mind as you said, living our best life.
I think the scariest part as a parent for me on this topic is the idea that they're watching everything that we do, which I know is the truth. I see it, and they duplicate it and they copy it. But that is very, very scary to realize that sort of like you're the sun and they're rotating around you. So like Dr. Frankel said, how I was reacting to COVID or how I was reacting to the events, I could see my kids mirroring that. And that's scary because sometimes you just want to have the freedom to not worry about how your children are interpreting your actions and behavior. But I guess that's what we signed up for when we gave birth. Nancy, so I have a follow-up question for you. What does this topic mean to you?
Can I just say what he said? So I'm appreciating and validating everything, Dr. Frankel, that you're sharing. For me, that means doing my absolute best to I guess, like I said in the beginning, show my children how to live life, what my values are for myself, what my values are for my relationships, how I handle myself when I'm scared, how I handle myself when I'm angry, or I should qualify that and say how I try, right? Because we're always teaching our children, hopefully, that we value their effort in what they're doing. And I try to remember that. Like you were saying, Art, give yourself a break. We say every podcast to have grace for ourselves. And so when I mess up, I try to remember that it's my effort. And then I try to remember to model that for my children. And I'll try to model having grace for myself at times. I try to model kind of big picture what I need to do to be able to live as my best self, exercise, try to get enough sleep, calm my brain by meditation, journaling, all those other things, the coping skills that we try to do big picture to allow ourselves to even have a shot at showing up with our children in the world as our best self. So did that answer your question, Marcel?
Yes. The reason I asked the follow-up is because I think the phrase, you know, live as your best self is a wide breadth. So there can be lots of versions of it, or it's a spectrum maybe, because maybe living my best self 10 years ago was discovering who I was, being authentic. And maybe the best version of myself today is using the tools that I've been taught to be the best version of myself, to be present, to be authentic, you know, all the buzzwords you hear now. So that's why I was just trying to give clarification to the audience, because I love the phrase and it's my favorite concept, but it is a wide range of what we can do. So,
I'd like to make a comment about your fear of how you get scared, your kids get scared. I have recently been aware of not all children, but some children who are so incredibly resilient, youngsters, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, watching things around them go nuts in the COVID era, and keeping a sense of objectivity about it. I mean, reporting the situations almost with a sense of humor, watching their parents go nutty. I've just been in awe of this. I can't predict, you know, not all kids are like this, but I've seen it a number of times, from young ones to adolescents. So yeah, we certainly have to take care of, you know, ourselves for good modeling. But I'm also aware that I don't know, there's another mechanism going on out there.
What do you think it is, Art? What do you think are some things that we can do to try to get our kids to be more resilient? And
I'm not sure, Nancy. Because the situations I'm thinking of, the family systems are pretty chaotic. And then I have family systems that are much more stable and the kids are going nuts. So I really don't have the answer for that. I'm just aware of the phenomena. So I would, you know, wonder with parents as they watch their kids through this era and beyond, is, you know, are the kids observing or witnessing? How are they witnessing this? How do you know how they're witnessing this? Is their school behavior stable? Are they same level of sibling rivalry?
I think technology also adds to it.
I'm sorry, what?
I think also technology is different.
Maybe.
They consume applications now that information that we needed to like go to a library, find, read, absorb, try to understand, they have it in a 15-minute TikTok. You know, that down for them. It's kind of incredible. I know, I agree with you on the assertion that something's different. I had two high school graduates in 2020, and they were just so, the whole generation just seemed so calm and, you know, going with the punches. And it was, you know, no proms, no graduation and college, all the normal craziness. But, and they, when I would inquire to them and ask and talk to them about it, you know, their response is like, well, we were born under 9/11. You know, we saw the financial crisis in 2008. This is our normal.
Marisol mentioned, I love how you said when what living your best self, one of the aspects was using the tools that you've learned and had the courage to acquire through the years. Art, can you speak to that? Like maybe some tools that there's absolutely no guarantees in parenting. We all know that as I get chills in my body. But what are some tools that can help us lean more towards modeling what we want for our kids? I know that's a broad question, but
You must have covered this over and over again in the podcast, and knowing you, Nancy, you did. But there's a couple of simple tools that I've found to help parents be their best selves. And it's surprisingly enough, it's timing themselves out. If there's a two-parent family and the other parents, they're not working, because many, frankly, women mothers are under, I think, much more stress with this than their husbands, because many of them are staying home, having to take care of children and school them. I mean, I just can't even imagine. I mean, I can, but it's just the stresses of having to 24/7 be, you know, with your children, no timing out. So tag teaming may not be possible, but to the extent that it is possible when you see yourself losing it, if it's possible to excuse yourself, just calm yourself down, that has been pretty effective, I've seen. The other thing is that if it's possible, doing something that makes you happy, exercising. I mean, this is so hard now, especially in homes where, you know, there's only one parent or the other parent is working outside the home or even inside the home and they can't be bothered. But having some time to exercise, watch the boob tube, anything, you know, just to give yourself something. I don't know how our weight's doing during the COVID era, but comfort food's really important to me. sometimes a White Castle hamburger is all that I need to go on. I have them frozen in my freezer. I think that's been a very helpful technique that has helped parents maintain their stability and good modeling for their kids.
So to feed our soul, sometimes literally, right?
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. And what can get in our way, Art, besides the obvious with COVID right now? like kind of in general, what gets in our way of our best intentions? Let's just say I want to live as my best self. I've learned some tools. I'm practicing breathing and counting to 10 and feeding my soul. What are some other things parents can be aware of that might get in their way that they might need to attend to?
Well, the first thing that came to mind when you said that was sleep. If you don't have enough sleep, I don't care how many skills you have, you're not going to be providing them. And particularly if you have insomnia, you're going to be a blithering idiot for a day or two until you catch up. So how that happens, you know, in a family or what you're doing that is on your mind, that you can calm yourself, that's important, at least it is to me, and I've seen it others. But in addition, I guess it's just the things you probably focused on over and over again is mindfulness, being able to stay, you know, with the moment when it's important to be with the moment. I mean, daydreaming and getting off the moment can be very supportive if you don't need to be there in the moment, like when your kids are playing by themselves, but you have to be in the presence of them. You don't have to be attending to them. You can be on your own phone or just sitting there staring at the ceiling. But I mean, being in the here and now or mindfulness is exhausting. And that's why I think mothers who are having to school their kids as well as take care of them is so exhausting. Because you can only do it for so long before you just have no energy left. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's one thing I can say.
You know what I thought of when you asked him, Nancy, I'm going to put both the therapists on a spot. I thought, I'm like, do they love themselves and have they been in therapy at any point in their life? I'm a big, big proponent of therapy. I know that not everyone has the opportunity or desire to go to therapy, but I think self-awareness or learning how to like and love yourself is something that is, you know, foundational to living your best life. And so that, as the non-therapist on the podcast, I would promote finding a therapist to help you like yourself, love yourself, so that you deal with all the stuff in the past, in the history, in your story of origin, so that you can be in the present, in the, you know, moment, and be the best version for your kids. So, sorry, I just needed to add that plug in. So find yourself a therapist.
What's in my history that I haven't looked at that's getting in my way today? Right? We all have things in our backpack in our history that we could spend our whole lives in therapy, but it's really just becoming more aware, at least for me, of what am I bringing with me to this moment that I haven't healed, that keeps me from being mindful, that keeps me from being present, that keeps me from taking that deep breath and counting to 10 before I engage with my children or my partner. And you know, therapy to me is a luxury. I wish it were something that everybody had access to. But there's some really good books out there. One I particularly love, and whenever I am finding myself being sucked away from my grounded state, which during COVID is quite often, is The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. And to me, that really opened my eyes at an even deeper level as to how to be more in touch with myself and how to feed my soul better and how to be the best version of myself, or at least try.
Well, I think therapy is important too, only in the sense that it's like going on back to continuing education on ourselves. As you know, we learned in Gestalt training, Nancy, we only are the more experienced clients in the room. We all have issues from our childhood and from our present that we're having a hard time negotiating. But to me, the question of therapy at any point in time is when is situational. If you're living in a family system where your present state of nuttiness between you and your partner and your children is getting along. I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's not great, but it's you're moving. You're there. The family's, you know, moving along. Then I'm not sure that the psychotherapy is necessary at that point. It's when people are stuck. They're in a rut. They're in a pattern of not liking themselves or not liking their situations or finding themselves, as the podcast title, not being their best selves, that they need to go back for a continuing education on themselves. And for me, it's not being a couples therapist and family therapist at heart. An individual who's having a problem in their family system with their children is they can't fix it by themselves. You can go back and, quote, fix yourself, but you're still stuck with the rest of the system. A partner who's not cooperating, kids who are just not, you know, getting on board. And you can't get kids on board unless you have a partner that's willing to do it with you. So the going back for therapy is, for me, more of take a look at yourself in the context of your family system. And not just what yourself needs to have some personal growth, which is important, but how can the family come together in more of a personal growth model so that people can begin talking to each other, listening to each other, showing loving behavior towards each other. That to me is the critical issue. So individual therapy is swell. I've done a lot of it myself, but I learned through the process that as I work for my own personal growth, unless I have people around me, it takes a village. It takes a village to help me, much less help my children. And so that's the context I look at therapy.
And I love that framing it of being stuck too, because I find as a fan of therapy and as a heavy user of therapy, that's what I need is the when I'm not getting out of bed early to do my morning routine, when I'm, you know, binge watching the boob tube because I don't want to deal, when I'm stuck, that's the exact phrase. When I'm like, oh gosh, I need to call my therapist and schedule a few sessions because I need to sometimes just voice, you know, have someone to talk to about how I feel, and it helps me. So I appreciate that because I love that phraseology of being stuck because I think it's a part of the human condition. We all find ourselves there often, with COVID, I think.
Yeah, and Art, I also appreciate how you're framing the continuing education on ourselves, because when I hear that, I feel empowered. Right? That the more I can learn about me, yes, my history made me who I am today, and I can learn more about myself and move forward. I have the power to look at where I'm stuck, what's not working for me, and create the change that I want, and then hopefully work in my systems to get my partner on board with that, or the important people, my kids. And again, we're modeling for our kids the huge value in navigating life, right? Because life is all about systems.
I think that, you know, follow up what you're saying, Nancy, it's a parent's job to do two essential things. You know, you got to feed and house your kids. That's important as best you can. But there's two major issues that you want the kids to give the kids. One is the ability to support themselves once they leave the house. So that has to do with, you know, learning trades, learning, having education, or having the ability to do that once they emancipate themselves. The second one is how to form intimate relationships. That's your second job. And we don't teach that very well. We go, education systems aren't bad, but educating children on how to have intimate relationships as adults basically comes from watching mom and dad or watching the adults around you. And that's why it's a profound issue that we are our best selves and model loving behavior, loving relationships and problem solving and helping and how you guide people, how you problem solve. Because that's what they're watching like little hawks. And when they leave the house and start forming their own relationships, that's what they're going to copy. So, you know, that's why this is so important. And since we have no text, I mean, there's no curriculum for this, like there is to learn how to be a carpenter or an engineer, this is something we need to pay attention to.
Yes, Art, I guess I'll announce it to you and to the world. Be the Adult, one of our next projects is to come up with a curriculum.
Oh, God help you.
You work with teenagers to teach them those basics, because I feel the same way. And people I talk to and what I hear, all the podcasts I listen to, that there isn't that manual really for, I'm going to say teens, adolescents, to really learn relationships.
I think it's possible. I mean, to teach adolescents or younger kids how to do active listening and problem solve, if they have the skills, they can't unlearn them. So they may plug them in no matter what was happening in their family.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll join us. Art, you've been so knowledgeable today, and I always have a huge smile on my face as I'm talking to you and feel myself growing, sitting up taller. Is there anything else that you feel is important to share today about this topic?
No, I just appreciate you doing this, you and Marisol and Nancy, you doing this. it's a unique opportunity for people to hear us here. You know, what we're noodling about, what you're noodling about in terms of raising healthier kids. And we need a lot of that. Like another thing that we weren't taught as children is how to deal with children. We were taught by what we saw and experienced. So some of this stuff needs to be unlearned as we get to be adults. And I think this podcast, I think, is very helpful in that regard. So thanks to the two of you.
I appreciate that very much. And thank you. And thank you, Marisol. You bring such a fresh, wise perspective to every podcast.
I bring the non-therapist point of view.
Marisol, you have to understand, the term therapist is a word I'm not pleased with.
Okay.
You are as good a therapist as anybody else I know. Right? You just don't have it as a profession, but you're doing it every day. The skills we use are the skills you use.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. That's my aspiration. I laugh because as you guys were talking about relationships, you know, and the phraseology of modeling healthy choices and relationships, I'm like, and that's why I'm single, folks. Thank you so much, Dr. Frankel, for joining us and providing your expertise. And Nancy, another season in the can. Congratulations. Much growth for Be the Adult in the last year during COVID. It's quite phenomenal. Thank you to our advisory board who helps support us and guide us in our strategic initiatives. And of course, thank you to all our previous guest who joined us on many a Sunday morning. And last but not least, thank you to the audience who comes back every Sunday and every week to listen to us chirp about our nonprofit. Nancy, do you have anything you want to say to the audience before we head out?
Just everyone, please be well. We're all doing our best, and have grace for yourself and those around you.
Please make sure to sign up for our newsletter. We will be sending those out probably about every other month with updates about what Be the Adult is working on. As you heard Nancy mention, we've got a lot of wonderful initiatives in the pot that we are currently cooking. So keep your eyes out for that. Everyone, please stay safe and thank you again for joining.